Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street, Dow Jones Industrial Average up 117 at 16,516. S&P 500 up 15 at 4,658. NASDAQ Composite up 47 at 4,685. Yield on the 10-year Treasury down 6 basis points at 2.1%. Oil down 67 cents at $30.74 per barrel. Gold down $7.70 at $1,087.50 per ounce. The recent sell-off on Wall Street has some of the investment banks worried. For the past 7 years, J.P. Morgan Chase has seen every dip in the market as a buying opportunity. Now they're changing their tune, advising clients to sell any rally. A report from J.P. Morgan's chief equity strategist cites several areas that are raising red flags, including deteriorating technical indicators, expectations of anemic corporate earnings, combined with the downward trajectory in U.S. manufacturing activity and a continued weakness in commodities, with oil dropping under $20 a barrel. RBS, the Royal Bank of Scotland, today says investors face a cataclysmic year where stock markets could fall by up to 20% and oil could slip as low as $10 a barrel. In a note to its clients, the bank said, "Sell everything except high-quality bonds. This is about return of capital, not return on capital. In a crowded hall, exit doors are small." It said the current situation was reminiscent of 2008, when the collapse of the Lehman Brothers investment bank led to the global financial crisis. This time, China could be the crisis point. Goldman Sachs is warning that global stock markets may get worse. They remain neutral on stocks for now, but any further drops would create opportunities to invest. They prefer Europe to the U.S. stock market because the European Central Bank is supporting the economy there, and that's poised to help the region's companies to achieve possible single-digit earnings growth. Standard & Poor's says the outlook for corporate borrowers worldwide is the worst since the global financial crisis. The proportion of issuers facing a potential downgrade at the ratings company surpasses possible upgrades by the most since 2009. The gap also widened the most since the financial crisis over the past 6 months. S&P said the corporate debt outlook has darkened because of slower growth in China and a commodity rout that's cut prices to the lowest since 1999. The slump has also driven corporate defaults to the highest since 2009. S&P says there may be significantly more ratings downgrades than upgrades in 2016. Lehman Livian Fridson Advisors says the junk bond market is indicating a 44% chance of recession in the U.S. within 1 year. They say they aren't making a forecast, just analysis of junk bond spreads over treasuries, now at 7.4%, which is not at recessionary levels of 10.19%, but still indicates a 44% probability of recession. Jeffrey Gundlach, the co-founder of Double Line Capital, sees a one-third chance of recession this year. Citigroup analysts say spread levels on the market CDX North American High Yield Index are pricing in an expected loss of 21.2% over a five-year period. Now, that's a lot of negativity coming from the strategist in the big investment banks. You might expect at least some artificial optimism when the president of the Dallas Fed talks about oil. You'd expect some droplets of hope for that crucial industry in Texas. But when Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan spoke yesterday evening, there was none, not for 2016 and most likely not for 2017 either, and maybe not for 2018. The wide-ranging speech included a blunt section on oil, the dismal future of the price of oil, the global and U.S. causes for its continued collapse, and what it might mean for the Texas oil industry, specifically more bankruptcies, mergers, and restructuring. But does all this negativity really mean the markets are collapsing, or is it a contrarian indicator? Is this a replay of last August when we saw a nasty pullback followed by a quick recovery, or is this the beginning of a recession that could drag down the markets and the economy? Of course, we do not know, and the analysts do not know. What we do know is that there are risks in this market, and those risks appear to be underpriced. On the flip side, those risks are now being identified. Another thing we know is that the Dow and the S&P are both trading below their 50-day and 200-day moving averages, so a downtrend is in place, at least for the moment. We can also see what the analysts are seeing whenever we fill up the car. The price of oil is down 79% from the 20-year high hit July 2008 at $145.29, which created record gasoline prices at the pump. Oil prices dropped under $30 a barrel today for the first time since 2003, dropping below a critical level of support, $30.28 a barrel. That was the financial crisis closing low on Tuesday, December 23, 2008. The companies in the S&P 500 energy sector are expected to lose a collective $28.8 billion this calendar year, down from $95.4 billion in net income earned during 2008. The analysis includes only the 36 S&P 500 energy companies that reported net income in 2008. Take the situation at the S&P 500's biggest energy company, ExxonMobil. Exxon is expected to report net income of $16.3 billion for calendar year 2015. That's down 64% from the $45.2 billion the company reported as net income in 2008. Still, it's a profit. Shares of Chesapeake Energy, an oil explorer, has seen its shares drop 94% from the day oil peaked back in 2008. Chesapeake is expected to post a loss of $13.1 billion for 2015, down from the $604 million profit it made in 2008. Or BP, which today announced it was cutting 4,000 jobs. An estimated 250,000 oil industry jobs have been lost worldwide since the price decline began. Of course, you could just sell or avoid the energy sector. But the problem there is that some of these oil companies will default. Not Exxon, but some of the smaller players. The defaults could be a big problem for the junk bond market. The junk bond market could be a big problem for the banks. The banks are always a problem. Not just because they probably have a few bad bets on the oil patch, but because they leverage those bets with trillions of dollars of derivatives. But just avoiding the oil patch might not be enough. According to Bank of America's high-yield credit strategist, on an unadjusted basis, non-commodity earnings growth has been negative two of the last four quarters, representing the worst four-quarter average earnings growth in a non-recessionary period since late 2000. Fourth quarter earnings reporting season is underway. Yesterday, Alcoa kicked off earnings season, posting better than expected earnings and worse than expected revenue. Today, Alcoa dropped just over 9% to a 7-year low. Alcoa is down 28% over the last 9 sessions. CSX reported after the closing bell today, the number 3 U.S. railroad reported a lower quarterly net profit, citing a drop in freight volumes, especially a 32% decline in the amount of coal hauled. Fourth quarter net income was $466 million, or 48 cents per share, 2 cents better than estimates, but down from $491 million, or 49 cents per share a year earlier. Still to come this week, earnings reports from Intel, J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup, among others. Some economic data, Labor Department's Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey, also known as the JOLTS survey, showed 5.43 million job openings, up from $5.34 million in October. Now, that's still shy of the all-time high notched earlier in the year, but moving in the right direction. Even better, hires rose to $5.2 million from $5.17 million, and more people quit. 2.83 million people quit their jobs. That's a sign of worker confidence in their job prospects. The NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business, reported that its Small Business Optimism Index edged up 0.4 points to a reading of 95.2. The readings have ranged between 94.1 and 98 for all of 2015. The percentage of small business owners who expect real sales to improve rose by 9%, while those who expect better business conditions in the next 6 months slumped by 7%, which seems to be a contradiction. International Monetary Fund's Managing Director Christine Lagarde says the Federal Reserve should wait to hike rates again until they see clear evidence of firmer wage or price pressures. Well, that didn't stop the Fed in December, so Fed's official inflation target, the PCE price index, rose at just 0.4% 12-month rate in November, well below the 2% official target. Private equity firm Apollo Global Management is said to be in advanced talks to buy Apollo Education, no relation, for about $1 billion. Apollo Education, operator of the for-profit University of Phoenix, has been in talks with a number of firms over a control-changing purchase. McDonald's could face pressure from the EU after consumer groups in Italy filed fresh complaints. Company accused of charging franchisees rents at excessive levels above market rates. McDonald's is already one of the targets of an EU investigation into its tax arrangement with Luxembourg. Last call for Internet Explorer. Effective today, Microsoft has officially stopped supporting older versions of the web browser to encourage users to migrate to its new browser, Edge, instead. That could cause security and other issues for some companies, hopefully not for you. The Powerball jackpot is now at $1.5 billion, maybe more by tomorrow night's drawing. If you take the lump sum and pay taxes, you would only get about a third of that amount. But don't worry, because you're not going to win, probably. Your six numbers will not match, and your finances will stay put, minus about $2, most likely. Sorry about that. And good luck. We invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. The daily blog is eatthebankers.com. Text, audio, interviews, free podcast, and much more at eatthebankers.com.